Blood Knight, an original radio drama by Lon Ryden.
So, what do you think of this place so far?
Michael, it's perfect. The hotel is absolutely charming. The wind in the trees, and the colors in that sunset, and the view. Oh, it's all so beautiful.
On a clear day, they say you can see all the way to Nevada and Arizona.
Oh, it's just fantastic. And it's so secluded, too. I haven't seen any other people, or cars, or anything. It's like we have the whole mountain to ourselves.
Business probably picks up on the weekends.
How did you ever find out about a mountaintop resort like this?
My dad and his buddies used to come up here all the time in the summers. I came up with them a couple of times. There's a stream nearby with the best trout fishing you could ever hope to find. You'd wade out in the midstream where the water came up to about your knees and cast downstream with grasshoppers for bait. Sometimes they'd fish it up and catch it in their mouths before it ever hit the water. Boy, those were the times.
I hope you didn't have any intention of running off to go fishing and leaving me behind this week.
Are you kidding? Leave you? Julia, you're the whole point. Tomorrow, 2 years since the occasion of our very first date. The whole reason for coming up here was to celebrate us, not to leave you and go off fishing somewhere.
Oh, Michael.
2 years.
Remember our first kiss?
Remember our first... I'm just anxious to show you how much I've learned since then is all. Well, let's get our things inside. If we hurry, we can still catch some of the end of that sunset from the back deck.
Have you got old bags? Do you need me to carry anything?
Just the door, thanks.
Oh, right. Oh, would you just look at this place? It's got so much character.
Hold the door.
It's rustic, so...
Would you say authentic, perhaps?
My goodness, you startled me. I didn't see you there when we came in.
Yeah, I got a habit of doing that, sneaking up on people. Here, let me give you a hand with those things. Thanks. My name is Kendall, Isaiah Kendall. I'm the innkeeper here.
Oh, hello, Isaiah. Pleased to meet you.
Mr. Kendall?
You must be Michael and Julia Rogers.
Michael Rogers and Julia Harmon, actually.
Well, by God. Engaged then, right? No. Beautiful girl like you. What's Mr. Rogers waiting for?
We don't want to rush into things.
Marriage is a big commitment.
Well, I suppose. It ain't my business anyway. Here, we'll get you signed in and I'll show you up to your rooms.
Wow. So quiet. Are we the only ones at the hotel?
Well, for the time being, at least. It's a bit of an off-season for us now. Of course, we...
Winter. And the ski season. Of course. I bet things get jumping then.
Well, that and...
This being such a traditionally slow week for travel, school having just started and all.
Yeah, plus no one's been...
Going to want to miss the Harvest Moon celebration in Blanding this weekend.
Michael, do you think you could let this poor man finish a sentence? You were saying, Isaiah?
Isaiah, guy, you weren't supposed to say anything about our arrangement.
Arrangement?
He's not supposed to let on about my having rented the whole inn, especially for us, so we could be alone.
Michael, how romantic. No one's ever done anything like that for me.
Like I said, it was supposed to be a surprise.
Didn't have to do that. Oh, you're so sweet.
Well, perhaps I'd better leave you two alone now.
Oh, no. Plenty of time for this sort of thing later. Please, sign us in. Show us to our room.
Well, then, right this way. Okay, then. This is your place for the next couple of days. Room 306, the honeymoon suite. You got the corner spot. Huge picture windows on both sides.
Oh, Michael, it's beautiful.
The bathroom is right through that door there. The phone connects you to the main desk, and my room is right near there. So if you need something, just ring up, okay?
check.
And since, the staff is so small this week, let me point out the linen closet to you in case you need any new sheets or towels or anything.
Okay.
The door is right at the end of the hall there. See it? The one without a number.
Yes.
The television's got all the cable and pay stations and it's free. So watch all you want. And then we got the whirlpool, jacuzzi, and sauna down on the main floor.
Well, okay then. That should about cover everything for now, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be sure to call if we need anything.
I should have breakfast ready, about 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
All right, see you then. Hey, what are you doing? Unpacking already?
Well, of course. I don't want to live out of a suitcase for a week. Everything gets so wrinkled up.
My God, Julie, we're on vacation. Don't you think that can wait?
Wait for what?
Well, I don't know. We're finally here and alone, and after all that driving, I know I can think of things I'd rather be doing than folding and hanging clothes, for crying out loud.
Oh, you. We have the whole week for that.
But why put off for tomorrow fun we can have today?
Michael, what did you bring all this stuff for?
For taking pictures, of course. I'm a photographer, Julia. Where I go, my cameras go with me.
Yes, but a few snapshots I can understand. You've got everything but the kitchen sink in here. 35 millimeter and video cameras, Polaroid, tape recorder? And what do you need all these lenses and filters for? 80 times zoom, light intensification, magnetic imaging film?
You never know what's going to come up.
Michael, I have a feeling this vacation is for another chapter in that book of yours you're writing, American Folk Monsters. This better not turn out to be another Lake Champlain.
You're never going to let me live that down, are you?
That time you said it was a romantic getaway, and then we wound up on that huge lake in a rowboat.
It had a motor?
Which we couldn't use because you were afraid the noise would scare that monster Champ away. It was cold and windy and miserable. And what did you get out of it? Your plesiosaur never did make an appearance.
Plesiosaur. Champ is supposed to be a plesiosaur. Same as Nessie. And Champ is the best documented monster in America. But all that's irrelevant anyway. This is not going to be another Vermont. I promise you. Work on my Folk Monsters book is on hold for now.
Yeah? What about Mr. Kendall? He seemed to be trying to say something earlier, and you wouldn't let the poor man complete a single thought.
Julia, you're worrying about nothing, letting your imagination run away with you. I brought some cameras with, big deal. I swear to you, this has nothing to do with work.
Swear?
Swear.
Your fingers aren't crossed, are they?
Nope, see?
I guess I'll believe you then. I'm a fool for that face.
Well, put that suitcase away and come over here and give it some company then. My lips are lonely. There. See? That's what I had in mind for this vacation. Here, back up a couple steps. There now. Let's see how this bed works.
Oh, God. It must have been a dream. Michael? Michael? Oh, my God. Michael? He's not here.
Mount Vernon Inn, front desk. Isaiah speaking.
Mr. Kendall?
Miss Harmon, something wrong? You don't sound well.
It's Michael. He's gone.
Well, he hasn't come back from the summit yet. But his car is still there. I don't think he's gone.
The summit? He went out this morning? What time is it?
It's about 5:30.
When did he leave?
Probably about an hour ago. He thought for sure he'd be back before you woke up. I'm sorry he gave you such a scare.
Why was he going to the peak, Mr. Kendall? Did he say?
Well, to get a couple of pictures of the bloodstones, I'd imagine. He had a camera with him, and I can't think of anything else that would interest anybody up there.
Blood? Bloodstones?
You really don't know anything about any of this, do you, Ms. Harmon?
I thought we were here for our anniversary.
Yeah, there's a little more to it than that, I think.
I'm coming down, Mr. Kendall. I think we need to talk. I need some answers, and I don't think Michael has any intention of giving me any.
Did you care for a cup of coffee this morning, Ms. Harmon?
No, I'm plenty awake already, thanks to that scare Michael gave me.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was rather odd. The way he wouldn't let me get a word out about the blood night when you first arrived.
The blood night?
Oh, it's a kind of ritual tradition in these parts. It goes way back. Way, way back. Yeah. The bloodstones on top of this mountain are supposed to predate even Stonehenge. Oh, of course, there's some controversy about that. A lot of anthropologists don't believe a society advanced enough to build such a structure existed so far back in North American history.
I don't understand. What are you talking about?
Well, there's a temple of sorts at the top of the mountain. It's a ring of tall stones believed to have been built by some kind of nature spirit worshipping people. Kind of like the druids credited with having built Stonehenge, you know? And just like Stonehenge, it serves as a kind of astronomical calendar. It keys on the position of the sun and certain stars at the time of the first new moon after the autumn solstice.
When is that?
Well, probably not by coincidence. Now.
There, between the two tall east-facing stones, shining like a laser through the thin line between them, the sunrise marking the time of the Blood Night. Oh, crap, I forgot to unpause the tape recorder. Where was I now? Oh, yeah, the sun shining like a laser between the two stones. On these nights, as per ritual, when the light of the setting sun touches on the altar stone, a sacrifice would be made. Blood would be poured out on this sacred ground in order to appease the cruel spirit of winter that inhabits this mountain. Tikkun Verhu. When the stars first begin to show against the soft evening blue of the sky, Aquarius will materialize over the marker on the southeastern corner and Scorpius over the southwestern. And as the black cover of night is laid out, the restless memories of this mountain will play out in spiritual pantomime, a phenomenon known as the Dance of Souls. It is said that if the sacrifice is not made on time, the wraith of the one selected by the mountain joins in this dance. A harbinger, the appearance of a living person's wraith, is a sure signal of their demise.
This ritual was passed down from the Druids, or whoever they were, to the Native American tribes who came to this land, and from them, it was handed on to the first European settlers. They came this way for mining, and this very mountain was one of the richest silver lodes in the West.
But why? Why did they continue to perform the ritual? Surely they didn't believe those stories about a bloodthirsty monster haunting the mountain.
Not at first, maybe, but they learned the hard way. The earliest recorded history of this area has long pages of snow and bitter cold, and people who were frozen, starved, and stranded, buried in avalanches.
So the settlers in this area started their ritual back up?
And as long as they continued, the winters were short and mild. Of course, no one bothers with it now.
Reasonability and common sense finally prevailed?
I wouldn't say that exactly. Whether people believe in Tikkun Verhu or not, this mountain is deserted every time the Blood Night rolls around. Whoa, it's like a holiday in these parts, so no one's taking any chances either way. If that monster is out, stalking these slopes and looking for blood, there's never anyone here to know it. Besides, the heavier the snow and the longer the season, the better our winter tourism is.
Well, what about you? You're here. Clearly, you don't give any credence to those old stories.
Oh, I don't believe in Tikkun Varu, if that's what you mean to ask. But I wouldn't be here either if your boyfriend wasn't paying me so much. I think your Michael's the ones giving too much credence to old monster stories.
Oh, you're up. I wasn't expecting you to be up already.
Clearly.
Hey, what are you doing?
Isn't it obvious? I'm packing.
For what?
Because I'm leaving.
Leaving? Why?
Because you lied to me. We are here for another chapter in your stupid book. You've been out chasing after some horrible mountain monster and taking pictures of a ring of rocks where they used to sacrifice people.
So what? I didn't take any time away from us. It's not even 6:30 yet.
You still lied.
I don't get you sometimes. Don't you like it here?
That's not even the point.
Well, if you could please tell me what the point is, then?
The point is, you came up here to see another one of your folk monsters, not to be with me, like you said.
So I'm killing two birds with one stone. So what?
Oh, is that what I am to you? A bird that needs to be killed? Was bringing me along on this trip just some kind of token gesture? You thought, I'll just take Julia along, and that'll keep her happy for another couple of weeks.
I really thought you'd like it up here.
Helping you hunt monsters?
Oh, brother.
What? What can't you understand? You don't see how I might feel slighted, playing second fiddle to your book? You're taking my affections as a distraction to play with between paragraphs?
Julia, you know you're not second to anything in my life.
Talk, Michael.
You want me to prove it? I will. What can I do to convince you?
For starters, you can take all that camera junk down to the car.
You're still set on leaving? Come on. I mean, we're here already. I've already paid for the whole week. No use letting all this beauty and charm go to waste, is there? Look at that view.
That's it.
No, wait. How about this? I take all my stuff down to the car, lock it in the trunk, and then give you the keys. I won't be able to get to any of it unless you want me to.
You lied to me, Michael.
I didn't think you'd mind so much.
Then why didn't you tell me?
I was thinking I could get all my work done early in the mornings. I figured you wouldn't even notice I was gone, or care if you did.
I do care, Michael.
I can see that, Jules. So I'll quit. I'll give it up. No more cameras, no more writing. The rest of the week is yours.
Because you already have what you needed.
Because I don't want you to be mad or feel hurt. Because I owe you a better time than this.
Oh, Michael. Let's not fight anymore.
Okay.
Michael. You awake?
What?
Michael, you don't believe in that monster, do you? That Tikkun Varu?
Go to sleep, Jules. I don't feel like talking now.
I can't sleep, Michael.
You're not trying hard enough.
Maybe I'll go downstairs and make a cup of hot chocolate. Do you think there's a chance Mr. Kendall is still awake?
No.
Well, I can't just lie here. I'm wide awake. I'd feel better if you came with me.
What? Oh, for crying out loud, Julia. I'm tired. Let me sleep.
I think I'm scared, Michael.
What?
Never mind. Oh, look. Someone else must be arriving here. I can see headlights. Oh, wait.
What are you talking about?
Michael, come to the window. Look at this.
I'm tired, Julia.
Something weird is going on out there. It's like the ground is glowing or something. Get up, Michael. Come and look at this.
What is it?
Look, there are people down there. In the trees. Can't you see them?
Yeah, I see them.
There's more of them over by the parking lot. And more coming from the slope in back. There's a whole crowd out there, Michael. doing?
I don't know.
It looks like some kind of dancing.
Good Lord!
Michael, what are you doing?
Where are the damn keys?
Michael, wait, where are you going?
Down to the car to get my camera. This is incredible.
Michael, wait, don't leave me.
God, the lights. Kendall, is that you?
Now, who else are you expecting?
My God, what are you doing with that gun?
I'm keeping those things out is what I'm doing. Can't you see them out there? Whatever they are.
They're trying to get in?
Don't be ridiculous. If they were trying to get in, they'd be in already. They'd come right through the walls. And I don't think that shotgun would deter them any either.
Michael, what are you talking about?
You think this is the Dance of Souls?
It fits, doesn't it?
You're crazy.
Am I? Look at them out there. Look at their clothes, ancient to modern. Look at the way they move, floating like fog in the wind. Look at their faces, cold and expressionless. And their eyes, Kendall. Can you see in their eyes? Dazed, lost, bewildered travelers in a realm somewhere between life and death.
You're crazy.
Michael, you're not still thinking of going out there?
An opportunity like this only comes once in a lifetime, Julia. I've got to get those pictures.
Michael!
Wait, let him go, Ms. Harmon. It's safer in here.
Sure.
My God. I can't believe I'm seeing this. There must be hundreds of them. Revenants. The spirits of all the people who were made victims of the Blood Knight. And the ground. The trees. The whole landscape is burning with St. Elmo's fire. God, I hope I can get to my camera before this quits. All right. Got the video on. Couple of quick Polaroids. 35mm with magnetic imaging film. God, I hope this stuff shows up.
Michael.
Jesus! Oh, God, Julia, you scared me. I thought you were staying inside the hotel with Mr. Kendall.
Why did you do it, Michael?
What are you talking about? You only get one shot at something like this. My God, what a spectacle!
My blood is on your hands, Michael. Why did you do this to me?
Jules? What's wrong?
You brought me here to die.
My God, Jules! I can see right through you!
My blood is on your hands, Michael.
Julia!
Is he talking to someone out there?
Yeah, some woman, it looks like.
Well, thank goodness. Maybe there's some rational explanation for all of this after all.
Wait, now he's running away from her.
He's coming back. He's shouting to us. I can almost hear him.
Julia!
My God! What was that?
Sounded like it came from in the office. Sounded big, whatever it was. Stay behind me, Miss Harmon. It's going to have to come through both barrels to get us.
What is it?
I think your Michael has found his monster.
That thing? That mountain spirit that people made sacrifices to? Mr. Kendall?
The story told said Chikunburu had the size and body of a bear, but had a horny head like the devil himself and the jawbone like an alligator.
Oh my God! The lights! Mr. Kendall!
Run, Julia! Save yourself while I try to...
This can't be happening. This can't be happening. Michael!
Julia! No! Oh my God! This can't be. It's just a folk tale. There aren't any monsters. No!
26 and a squad to assist, 1779.
We can see you've been through an ordeal here, but try to calm down, sir. We're trying to help, so take it easy. Start over and tell me everything from the beginning, but slowly.
But I've already told you everything. People have been killed. How am I not making myself clear?
Well, to be frank, not much of this story makes sense. You've got to understand, Mr. Rogers, a lot of people come to the police with crackpot stories. We just got to make sure we have all the facts straight.
We're trying to understand.
Look, this is getting nowhere. I can take you there. I can show you.
Take us where exactly?
To the resort on Mount Vernon. Come on, you saw what that thing did to my car.
See, right there, that's where you begin to lose me. Things doing stuff to cars?
How can this be so hard to explain?
One more time, Mr. Rogers. Start at the beginning.
My girlfriend and I went up to the resort for the week.
See, now there's part of the problem. What resort are you talking about? The only place I can think of on Mount Vernon has been closed for something like 20 years.
Right, yeah.
No, this place is right near the top of the mountain. It's a huge building, like a lodge. Listen, I'm telling you, I was just there.
Yeah. Now, Mount Vernon Inn, right? You even mentioned the name of the previous owner in your report, Isaiah Kendall. Well, he vanished just before they shut the place down back in 81.
People figured he'd probably left the country. He was having some pretty desperate financial problems.
Well, tax evasion.
But I was just there. Kendall was the man who checked us in. They had cable TV and everything.
Oh, come on now, Mr. Rogers. Cable? DSS, maybe, but cable?
Well, God, look! There's still the matter of Julia.
Yes, the missing girlfriend.
The fact remains, we went up there together, and now she's missing. Something terrible happened to her up there. And as officers of the law, it's your obligation to investigate my claim.
Look, Mr. Rogers, we're doing everything that we can.
You saw my car. Something had to have happened. That wasn't me who smashed out the back windshield and chewed up the trunk.
Sir.
This is ridiculous. You can't just sit here and try to make believe I didn't see what I saw. I can take you there. Let me show you.
Well, Mr. Rogers, here we are.
Oh, yeah, this is where he starts to go Twilight Zone on us.
Shh. No, this can't be right. This is where we were, but we...
Now, what did I tell you?
But this can't be right. Look at this place. All the paint is peeling off the sides. The roof is caving in. All the windows are smashed out. There's no furniture inside. Everything's covered in dust.
It hasn't been used in nearly 20 years, sir.
But we used the Whirlpool Jacuzzi the other night, and we watched Nick at night in bed.
Do you think we'll need the straitjacket, or will the butterfly net be enough?
Shh. Try to act professional.
And Mr. Kendall, he was... And... Wait. I have pictures. The resort was in the background in some of the pictures I took.
Now, let's see here. We got guilt, anger, denial. This must be bargaining.
Sir.
No, it will. It'll be in the pictures.
Sir, no one's been up here in 17 years. There's no way you could have been staying here this past week. There's no electricity. There's no TV. There's no beds. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, God! This is impossible.
I'm not saying you imagined everything, sir, but sometimes under certain stressful situations, the human mind is prone to failures.
The whole resort was a ghost. A ghost building.
Sir?
The whole building was part of the Dance of Souls. Kendall, too. He didn't leave the country because of trouble with the IRS. He was a victim of the Blood Knight himself.
He's taking this better than I thought. Come along now, Mr. Rogers. You just come with us.
Right. Now, that she wasn't welcome in this...
You can sit.
In other news, police still haven't turned up anything on missing person Julia Harmon. Authorities now say they suspect she may have become the victim of foul play at the hands of her boyfriend, Michael Rogers, the last person reported to have seen her alive. Michael Rogers, currently a resident of the Brentwood Mental Health Facility, at the advice of his lawyer, is reserving comment at this time. Although it's generally known, he claims Ms. Harmon to have been killed by ghosts haunting the ruins of a local mountaintop resort. The grand jury hearing will be scheduled pending the release of the report declaring Rogers' mental state. And what about this unbelievable weather? How much longer can we expect this to last, Paul?
Well, it certainly has been gorgeous. Clear, sunny, unseasonably warm. And it's all because of this high-pressure area that you see over my shoulder on the map.
Hello?
Michael Rogers, please.
This is he.
Mr. Rogers, I'm calling to confirm a reservation for the week of October 10th.
A reservation? October? Who is this calling, please?
Come now, Mr. Rogers. I'm sure you can't have forgotten us that quickly. We all remember you.
Who is this? Where are you calling from?
This is the Mount Vernon Inn, Michael. Don't you remember making plans for a stay here? It says on our books that it's regarding the anniversary of a very special event.
Is this some kind of joke?
Mr. Kendall and I were so looking forward to accommodating you on your stay.
Oh my God.
Shall I put you down as confirmed, Michael?
You.
Would you be bringing a guest this year, Michael? Any special friend you'd like to share the experience of a charming mountain getaway with?
Julia?
You do remember.
Oh, God. Hello?
I won't let you forget, Michael. We have unfinished business, you and I. You come back so we can get this thing settled.
Julia, I didn't know. I didn't. Oh, God. How could I know?
Come back, Michael. I'll be waiting. I've saved a dance for you.
Listening to Blood Night, written for radio by Lon Ryden. In the cast were Ned Rocky as Michael Rogers, Margie Peterson as Julie Harmon, Charles Brin as Isaiah Kendall, Dean Johnson and Jim McPherson as the policemen, Don Cosgrove as the newscaster, and Mark Sulander as the weatherman. The play was recorded at the studios of Radio K in Minneapolis with engineering by John Nelson. Sound effects assistance was by Mark Sulander, Sam and Meredith Montgomery, and Greg Stevens. Direction, music, and post-production by Dick Stevens. Blood Night has been a production of Sound Stories.